It's not only through extreme violence and threats to our climate that the capitalist world order wreaks havoc on us. Even the everyday facts of normal life in today's form of capitalism diminishes us and harms us in ways we may not notice. Megan Day, writing on the Jacobin magazine website, brings this out in a piece called Under Neoliberalism, You Can Be Your Own Tyrannical Boss. And here is an edited version of it.
A new study by psychologists Thomas Curran and Andrew Hill in the journal Psychological Bulletin finds perfectionism is on the rise. The authors conclude that recent generations of young people are more demanding of others, are more demanding of themselves, and perceive that others are more demanding of them. When identifying the root cause of this growing appetite for excellence, Curran and Hill don't mince words. It's neoliberalism. Neoliberal ideology reveres competition, discourages cooperation, promotes ambition, and tethers personal worth to professional achievement. Societies governed by these values make people very judgmental and very anxious about being judged. Being a perfectionist ordinarily means that one demands perfection of oneself, but researchers have broadened the concept. Curran and Hall use a multidimensional definition. They distinguish three types of perfectionism. We demand it of ourselves, we demand it of others, or we feel that everyone is demanding it of us. This last one, socially prescribed perfectionism, is the most debilitating of the three dimensions of perfectionism. It describes the feeling of paranoia and anxiety engendered by the persistent and not entirely unfounded sensation that everyone is waiting for you to make a mistake so they can write you off forever. This hyper-perception of others' impossible expectations causes social alienation, neurotic self-examination, feelings of shame and unworthiness, and a sense of self overwhelmed by pathological worry and a fear of negative social evaluation characterized by a focus on deficiencies and sensitive to criticism and failure. Curran and Hall found that people born in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Canada after 1989, people often called millennials, scored much higher than previous generations for all three kinds of perfectionism, and that scores increased over time. The dimension that saw the most dramatic change was socially prescribed perfectionism, which increased at twice the rate of the other two. In other words, young people's feelings of being judged harshly by their peers and the broader culture is intensifying with each passing year. Curran and Hall attribute this change to the rise of neoliberalism and its cousin, meritocracy. Neoliberalism favors market-based methods of assigning worth to commodities, and it designates everything it can as a commodity. Since the mid-1970s, neoliberal political economic regimes have systematically replaced things like public ownership and collective bargaining with deregulation and privatization, promoting the individual over the group in the very fabric of society. Meanwhile, meritocracy, the idea that social and professional status are the direct outcomes of individual intelligence, virtue, and hard work, convinces isolated individuals that failure to ascend is a sign of inherent worthlessness. Neoliberal meritocracy, the authors suggest, has created a cutthroat environment in which every person is their own brand ambassador, the sole spokesman for their product, themselves, and broker of their own labor in an endless sea of competition. As Curran and Hall observe, this state of affairs places a strong need to strive, perform, and achieve at the center of modern life, far more so than in previous generations. One consequence of this rise in perfectionism, Curran and Hall argue, has been a series of epidemics of serious mental illness. Perfectionism is highly correlated with anxiety, eating disorders, depression, and suicidal thoughts. The constant compulsion to be perfect and the inevitable impossibility of the task exacerbate mental illness symptoms in people who are already vulnerable. Even young people without diagnosable mental illnesses tend to feel bad more often, since heightened other-oriented perfectionism creates a group climate of hostility, suspicion, and dismissiveness, in which the jury is always out on everyone pending group appraisal, and socially prescribed perfectionism involves an acute recognition of that alienation. In short, the repercussions of rising perfectionism range from emotionally painful to literally deadly. And there's one other repercussion of rising perfectionism. It makes it hard to build solidarity, which is the very thing we need in order to resist the onslaught of neoliberalism. Without healthy self-perceptions, we can't have robust relationships, and without robust relationships, we can't come together in the numbers it would take to rattle, much less upend, the whole political economic order. It's not hard to see parallels between the three dimensions of perfectionism and the so-called call-out culture, lately the hegemonic tendency on the left, a condition in which everyone watches everyone else for a fatal slip-up of political correctness, perhaps, holding themselves to impossibly high standards of virtuous self-effacement and being paralyzed with a secret, again not unfounded, fear that they are disposable to the group, that their judgment day is around the corner. The pattern is of a piece with other manifestations of neoliberal meritocratic perfectionism, from college admissions to obsessive Instagram curation. And because it divides rather than unites us, it's no way to build a movement that ostensibly seeks to strike at the heart of power. I pause this reading for a moment to quote Franz Kafka. "The animal wrests the whip from its master and whips itself in order to become master, not knowing it is only a fantasy produced by a new knot in the master's whiplash." Now back to Megan Day's piece. Perfectionism makes us scornful of each other, afraid of each other, and unsure of ourselves at best. It prohibits the types of solidaristic bonds and collective action necessary to take on neoliberal capitalism, the very thing that generates it. The only possible antidote to atomizing, alienating perfectionism is to reject absolute individualism and reintroduce collective values back into our society. It's a gargantuan task, but with the vice grip of neoliberalism tightening on our psyches, it's the only way forward. That's from Megan Day's piece in Jacobin. Let me question, though, whether it's a matter of reintroducing collective values back into our society. We need new forms of collective values that are far more egalitarian and democratic than the collective values that shaped older pre-modern societies. And the only way this gargantuan task can be performed is by building the movement I referred to earlier on today's show, a mass anti-capitalist and anti-racist movement for a world organized to satisfy the needs and desires of everyone. I'm Clayton Morgridge for the Old Mole Variety Hour.
Yet you're my favorite work of art. Is your figure less than Greek? Is your mouth open it to speak? Are you smart? But don't change a hair for me, not if you care.
That, of course, is the great Ella Fitzgerald with My Funny Valentine, following my reading of Megan Day's piece on the Jacobin magazine website.